Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Major General Elder Granger, Deputy Director, TRICARE Management Activity. Also joining us in our conversation is Russ Sanford, partner in IBM's DoD consulting practice. General, to what extent does the changing nature of the population, its age, its size, present different challenges for managing healthcare and your mission?
First of all, our population age and change just like what we see in the civilian population. But I think the beauty about our population is it's sort of like in a closed system. And in our population, we have the opportunity to start managing different processes or preventing different diseases or processes as we go through the entire life cycle of healthcare or life in general with our military beneficiaries. So if you look at it, a challenge is being making sure we treat the condition. If it's going to be chronic, we manage it. We try to prevent the complications. And we do it in such a way that the patient has a role in terms of patient-centered care. Educating our patients to also serve as a partnership with us to help us do the right thing to take care of them and giving them more onus and responsibility in terms of managing the care. And we're headed in that direction with patient-centered care. And we call it infotherapy, information therapy, giving a patient information, allowing them to make healthy choices.
General Granger, would you discuss the goals, objectives, and the strategies that the DoD plans to deploy to increase the efficiencies in healthcare delivery and management over the next year and beyond? What are the plans to ensure that our forces are medically deployable, that you're able to sustain the TRICARE benefit throughout good resource management? What efforts are being made to revamp the MHS infrastructure for the most efficient use of your resources?
Well, first of all, the last 2 to 4 years, we worked aggressively on a military healthcare system strategic plan. And that strategic plan follows the balanced scorecard approach. And we have laid out those things we want to do in terms of quality issues, looking at infrastructure of our facilities, looking at doing more smarter contracting or buying of resources, putting systems into place to truly manage that, having a human capital strategy. How do we truly develop not only our military and having the right skills we need, but also our civilians too? How do we make sure as we go forward we're developing and producing those right skills? And that's part of our overall military healthcare system strategy as we go forward. We have some short-term goals as well as some long-term goals in terms of how we do that. One of the short-term goals I talked about earlier was from a quality standpoint, putting in a good disease management program, looking at how can we do more consolidation of our facilities in the National Capital Region in San Antonio, doing joint staffing and co-location of facilities, having a joint training campus down in San Antonio. That's part of our infrastructure alignment and strategies we go forward. Doing centralized buying and management of our information technology systems. I've spoken about electronic healthcare record. We're looking at other processes. And also, when we go forward, we're going to co-locate our headquarters, the Surgeon General's, along with the TRICARE management activities, getting better efficiencies by being co-located. Those are just some of the strategies looking as we go forward for the future. There's one other piece that I'm yet to talk about is what are we doing to make sure as we you go from the United States or the continent of the United States, and you have a truly managed care system in place. What are we doing overseas? Well, the next thing we're doing overseas for the next 2 years is making sure that as you go from the continent of the United States to overseas, the managed care program, the TRICARE program, looks identical, that we have a network overseas that is being managed identical like at a stateside, so that when you go overseas, you have the same look and feel. What a few minor modifications of our TRICARE program, and our beneficiaries can see the same process overseas, and that's being developed for the future. We're putting more emphasis on, as I stated earlier, getting truly performance-based type contracts and looking at civilian models and best practices. Those are things we're going to do as we go forward, as we try to truly continue to integrate this big Department of Defense military healthcare system. And the final challenge, like most things, is making sure we got the right financial structure to sustain this great benefit.
We've talked a lot about what's being done right now for the warfighter, the warriors that are over there right now, and the beneficiary population. But what about the staff that's back here working to support the infrastructure? With everything that's been going on with the war effort, with all the deployable forces, with the increased surge, has it impacted your ability to retain the individuals needed stateside back here to help support the program? And then what are you doing to do additional recruitment efforts to make sure that you maintain that workforce?
We have a very aggressive recruitment program, not only among all our three services, but also we're in the process looking at how can we centralize that process, making sure that as the multi-healthcare system, we have almost an identical look and feel in terms of recruitment, recruiting the right skill mix, retention, whether that be with improving the incentive pay for the mixture we need in terms of doctors and nurses and other experts in our military healthcare system, and really using our Uniformed Services University. It has a great resource for producing America's sons and daughters in terms of future physicians, graduate nursing program at the university, research and development. So we're looking at very aggressively as part of that human capital strategy. What do we need for the day-to-day war support? What do we need for the day-to-day military treatment facility in terms of staff? And what do we need also if we start projecting out in the future? So are there some challenges? Absolutely, yes. And that's where we need not only our recruiters engaged, but we also, too, ought to become recruiters ourselves as those of us in the military healthcare system. Now, how do we maintain the morale of the staff? It's very important we continue to emphasize to our staff they're doing a superb job. They're supporting a mission, whether it be our peacetime mission, our wartime mission, or what is going on in the managed care support contract, the purchase care piece, that what they do, in my opinion, is a higher calling, and I can't think of a more honorable professional service to do that than the Department of Defense. And we have to recognize them for that.
General, along those same lines, you've just had a fantastic career in the military and in medicine and in public service. So I'm curious, what advice could you give to someone who's perhaps thinking about a career in public service, maybe is standing on the long line looking at that short line over there? What advice can you give that individual?
I would say that, first of all, our nation was found on volunteers. And I can't think of a more higher calling than a volunteer to serve our nation, whether it be in peacetime, in the military, or as a Department of Defense civilian. Because at the end of the day, we all have to look back on life and say to ourselves, what did I contribute? I call it the dash of life. If you look at our great leaders like George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, just to mention a few, if you ask the average individual that's walking the street, what is the birthday of George Washington? They probably can't tell you the year, nor can they probably tell you the day that George Washington died or Abraham Lincoln. But what they can tell you, what they did for our nation when they was on this earth, you want to be able to look back on life and say, you know, during the time I was on this earth, I was born this day, I died this day. That dash, I did make a difference. I gave back something in terms of touching the lives of not only a few, but maybe many, but also serving my nation and serving my country. Because at the end of the day, that's what life is all about. We all ought to go through life and leave life with the thought that I did give something back to public service. I gave something back in the lives of somebody else. So if they're on the fence, think about whether or not they want to become a public servant. I'm here to convince them. I can't think of a higher call than serving our nation.
That's fantastic. Thank you. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Russ and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country in the armed forces and as a physician.
Thank you. If you want to know more about TRICARE, I highly recommend you go to our website at tricare.mil.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Major General Elder Granger, Deputy Director, TRICARE Management Activity at the U.S. Department of Defense. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.